Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 20th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you, especially if you're an aspiring author. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Inside the Writing Process, with Patricia Nan Anderson. This is an excerpt from a pre-recorded interview, but I will be on the chat line if you have questions, so stay with me. Welcome to all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening to the show live or you're listening to it from the archives or you're over there in the chat room, I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join me today. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit and send them over to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Now, when you get to that show page, I invite you to click Follow the Show, which will enable you to get an email announcement about each episode, and also add yourself as a friend of the show. Now, in addition, you will see ways to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and on LinkedIn. Now, some of you have always wanted to write a book, and I know because you've told me, but you've hesitated to get started because you didn't know how. Well, guess what? Most of us don't know how to do many things, so that's why you seek out somebody who does know, and that's exactly what I encourage you to do by joining my workshop. I've created a workshop called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. Now, I added all that at the end because this is what I've heard from people over the years about why they haven't gotten around to their books. I encourage you to go over to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and that's where you will see the information on how to register for this course. This course is offered in two versions. There's a live workshop where you may join me in person here in Southern California, or you may download a home study course and complete it in the comfort of your own home. I'm also going to be taking this workshop on the road this summer, so stay tuned for what towns I'll be in. Maybe I'll be in one near you. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, we talk about many topics. Today's episode is an excerpt from a pre-recorded interview with Patricia Nan Anderson. She's the author of Parenting, a Field Guide, and she's also a coach who helps aspiring authors from her website, ineedanudge.com. Great website. Be sure to go over there and check it out. I believe there are three main reasons that authors write their books. That is, to get their stories told, to get their stories sold, or to use them to spin gold. And this is what I asked Patricia right at the beginning of the interview, and that's the first thing you're going to hear her talking about. Now, what does this mean? To get your story told, to me, means you're more interested in getting the story out there than you are from making big money from your book. Books such as family memoirs, family history, sometimes cookbooks, are the kinds of books that fall into this category. In other words, you want to write this book regardless of whether it's going to make a lot of money or not, because the topic is so precious and important to you. Those people who write to get their stories sold are the professional writers who must make a living from their writing, so their approach at writing a book is going to be a little different, and there are certain things they have to take into account as they write their books in order to make them attractive to the public who will buy them. And then the third reason, to use your story to spin gold, this is typically what entrepreneurs do when they write a book to use as a client magnet or to attract customers, to build credibility and visibility for getting speaking engagements and so forth. So this is where the interview begins today with Patricia answering this question when I asked, did she write her story to be told, sold, or spend gold? And then from there, she will go on and talk about the location where she wrote her book. This is going to take you into her title, what happened with writing her title. She's also going to talk about how long it took her to write. This is something that interests a lot of people. She's going to explain why she chose self-publishing over traditional publishing and so on. So stay tuned, listen in. You're going to learn a lot. I know I do every time I talk to authors, and particularly Patricia Nan Anderson. Here we go.
Color your life has to be color. Every day you can choose.
Let's go to the interview.
And writing endeavors, my book would fall under the third category. I envisioned this as the centerpiece or the central product in a consulting career, working with primarily nonprofits and agencies and communities. Just came back from a week-long trip in a community where I was brought in for a week to talk to everybody who would stand still and listen and made a nice chunk of change doing it. So, yes, and having the book, yes, it was lovely. I would like to do it again. Having the book is an essential piece to that. It is validating. It's very hard to get speaking engagements without having written a book.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because entrepreneurs, I just spoke about entrepreneurs writing today, and that's an important point that I think is slowly catching on. It's not, all entrepreneurs don't have it yet, but it's very important. Now,
Right. One
of the things that my students and everybody else seems to be concerned about is making time to write and finding the ideal location. These are the big challenges. How did you make time to write, and where is your favorite writing spot?
Well, I will tell you that I made time to write by quitting my day job.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's jumping off the edge of the cliff.
That is.
And it worked. But I don't recommend it, but there were various reasons. I was living 2,000 miles away from where my actual work was located. I was, commuting back and forth every couple of months at my own expense and working online, and it was probably not the best for either my university or myself, and it was time to give it up. But the book became a focus for that in launching the consulting business. But still, it's hard. You know, even when you have 8 or 10 hours a day with nothing else filling them, it's not finding the time, Laura. It's finding this stick-to-itiveness to sit in the seat and actually get the work done. The way that I organized my book in this blog post format, where everything was 400 words, more or less, was really ideal. Because I could, you could pick and choose. You knew there were going to be about 150 of these. And if the next one, in the order of the book didn't appeal to me, I could write one that was, 20 pages down the line. They were disconnected in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you could always, I would say, well, you can always write one of these. Sit down and write one.
You can
sit one in, do 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You can knock one out. And so while that format really suited my audience, the parents, it also really suited me as the author, because there are very few excuses. You can't say, I just don't have time to write 400 words. You just, sit down and draft
do
something.
It.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, when you finished your book, or as you were writing it, did you group things together in categories, or did you just let each page stand, each one of these 150
individual pages with their facing pages, which would be, what I didn't even bother with those. I mean, even considering those. I did group them ahead of time. I did decide what themes I wanted, Okay. Sleep, eating, various things, whatever parents, discipline, having friends, those kinds of things. And so I did organize them around the things that I thought parents were most interested in. And, and then within those, I tried to have them be about the same length so that there wasn't one section that was much longer and one section that was only, two posts long.
So this is a different type of outlining, because I've talked to writers about how you go about organizing and outlining, and this is a different type, but it's very useful, and it works perfectly for you for a number of reasons. Like you said, it's good for the readers, and it's also good for the writing. You don't get a chance to get writer's block very fast in 400 words.
You really have no excuse. Exactly.
Which gets me to writer's block. Did you ever experience writer's block in this process, or distractions, or what I call confidence killers? And it's so
I think everyone who writes feels that way. I have a website called IneedANudge. .com, because most of us need a nudge. We need somebody to push us. And I did have a writing coach that I would check in with every week, and we'd try to, hold my feet to the fire. And and he set for me what I've come to call an unreasonable deadline.
Mm-hmm.
That anybody can set a reasonable deadline. But if you set for yourself an unreasonable deadline, even if you don't need it, you'll come a lot closer
than
you would have had you set yourself a reasonable deadline. So rather than setting myself a deadline of a year to write my book, and the book is the first edition was 340 pages or something. So this is a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I could have said a year, but my mentor said, get this done in 5 weeks.
Whoa.
I mean, he said, you're not working. What else are you doing? 5 weeks. And I talk about an unreasonable deadline.
Yes.
But it was
a
challenge, and I got it done.
I love the fact that you said anyone can set a reasonable deadline.
Yeah.
So by setting an unreasonable deadline, it pushes you, forces you. And when someone else sets it and you have to speak to that person every week, then... you can get it done, especially in your situation where you had quit a job to get this done. And
I had the time to do it.
It
was important to get the business launched as quickly as possible, and there are many motivators, but the biggest motivation was the challenge of get this done in what was just a ridiculously short amount of time.
But that's great. You did it.
I did it,
That's right. So
absolutely.
Speaking of which, in my course, where I talk about 90 days, boy, if I said 5 weeks, some people would probably pass out, but it is possible.
Well, 90 days definitely sounds unreasonable to everybody, and I think 90 days is actually not, it's unreasonable, but it's not really out of sight, for someone who has a full-time job.
That's
90
true.
Days is doable. You're talking about, 180? Well, 90 days, you're talking about 3 months, right?
3 months.
Yeah,
and actually, I want to give you credit for sticking to your schedule, even though you were free from your job, because there are people who are also retired, not working, whatever, like you were, who still have, there's still a challenge to ignore the distractions, to dilly-dally. I used to realize that when the dishes were calling me...
I was going to say exactly the same thing.
That I was procrastinating. It was have you longed to wash dishes?
I say that exactly. When you start, washing the dishes, cleaning the closet sounds good, doing your taxes sounds like a lot of fun. No, you know you're putting something off. Absolutely.
You're putting it off.
So
I want to commend you, because people who get their books done do not have always the luxury of time. I mean, they get it done all kinds of ways.
Yep.
And they just make time. Now, I want to talk about the title, because some
yes.
authors agonize over the titles.
Oh,
I've heard
it's so hard.
Try to talk about it. How did you arrive at the title for your
Well,
book?
It wasn't the first title that I started with. In fact, I purchased a domain name and started working with a graphic designer with a completely different title, which was The Competent Parent. And actually, it was my graphic designer who's a fabulous person and an excellent, he understands marketing very well.
Mm.
And he's also a parent. And so he said, you know, competent parent, that's a judgment. You know, the opposite of competent is incompetent.
Yes.
And he was saying, from what you've told me about your book, I mean, he was the person who was going to do my website and was going to do my jacket and illustrations to the inside. And so we had discussions about what the book was supposed to be, what it was supposed to do, and the market, who I was talking to. And he said, competence, and then the hidden... the opposite of incompetent. I don't think this is where you wanted to go.
Right.
And I knew he was right. And so it was working. It's working with someone else. I think when people get stuck with this, with the title, throwing ideas out, asking other people, ask everybody you know, what would be a good title? Describe for them the book. Give them 10 choices. You know, the 5 choices, whatever you're thinking about, thinking around. You know, writing it on the wall and going past it every day. I did that. You know, those kinds of things, because you kind of have to live with it a while.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to get other people's take on it.
Right, you do.
A lot of times people that I work with in writing have a title that means something special to them.
To them.
Maybe they've held on to this title for years, saying, this is what the title of my book is going to be because this has special meaning for me. And that's really nice, but you know what? It doesn't have special meaning for anybody else.
That's right.
And so if that title doesn't really speak to the audience that you want to attract, it's better to use something else rather than your special secret title that means something only to you.
Something that would have to be decoded in order for other people
to
understand.
Or that's not really obvious what it's about.
Right. And you touched on something that's very important right here, and that is the importance of having that other expert specialist in their field. So you had a winning combination, because not only did you have a graphic artist, but your graphic artist understood marketing.
Yes.
And there is a tremendously important skill to understand how it's perceived, because just as in your example, you certainly meant no harm by calling your book competent. You were focusing on what the outcome would be, but you weren't thinking about how parents who don't feel competent just yet are going to feel when they read that.
And they might say, this book isn't for me because I don't feel that competent right now. Yeah.
Exactly. That was perfect. Now, I also urge writers to write their first draft as fast as possible. This is the rewriting and the revising that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So you've already shared that it took you about 5 weeks to write your
first
draft.
I was pretty much writing the first draft and the final draft were almost one and the same.
Okay.
You know, when you're writing 400 words and writing as an academic, writing is what I've been doing all my life, and editing student work. And so, although... goodness, writing for the general public is a whole lot different than writing for papers. But, so I would write something, and you certainly go back and rework it and polish it up and rework it. But when you're talking about 400 words, you know, it doesn't, you're not trying to organize. That was the beauty of my model. And I think that people need to realize, it's important to realize that you don't have to write in 20-page chapters. You can look at some of the popular books that are out there, especially some of the popular business books.
Yes.
They're written many different ways, and you can kind of think outside the box.
Yes, and that's very important.
Right, the way they're trying to work for you. Yeah.
Because the average person, whether they are academics or not, wants to read something that's manageable in a relatively short period of time that doesn't require any heavy-duty thinking. And I think all of us feel that way. Now, I know that you published yours through self-publishing rather than traditional. Why did you decide to go that route?
for a couple of different reasons. One was I wanted it out fast. And self-publishing is the only way to guarantee that your book is going to come out in the next month or two, or three or four, rather than the next year or two or maybe never.
Right.
The whole process of hunting for an agent, getting someone to, you know, it sounds like high school to me. You know, trying to get a best friend that's going to be nice to you, and then that best friend's got to find another best friend to find a publisher for you. There's an awful lot of rejection in that. And, you know, I didn't have time for it, and I didn't have the stomach for it. And I think a lot of first-time writers, we're sensitive enough, we really don't need that rejection.
Nope.
And that was the other motivator, quite frankly, was,
right.
you know, I'm master of my fate, and I'm going to go and do it.
Well, I'm happy that you did, because look at what you did. You got your book out in a timely manner. You got it out there for sale, and now you have the second edition. And,
right.
That's wonderful.
And I actually self-published it even more self. The second time around, when I brought it out in soft cover, I didn't want to, the first time I, you know, found someone else who would get the ISBN and give me their imprint, you know, a name, basically just a name for to go on the spine and on the inside, and it was printed at a printing house. It was a long run press, so you know you were getting boxes of books that stored in my garage. The second time around, this time, I created my own. I went back to my graphics guy and said, you know, here's the name. I'm going to create my own little publishing imprint and buy my ISBNs and do it top to bottom all by myself. And it's print on demand with a very fine print on demand house. And it's working beautifully. And it was even easier and faster than the first time around. So.
And less expensive.
And less expensive by far.
Oh, wow, that was great. And this time you didn't need the coach, you didn't need the emperor, you saved a lot.
No, there was still a learning curve, which, you know, we get frustrating sometimes, but learning is how we grow, even though we'd rather not. So, you know, it's I am more knowledgeable now than I was a bit ago.
Right, and you have made your publishing service available to other writers.
Well, yes, I've got 9 more ISBNs. You have to buy them in a group of 10. So unless I sit down and write like the wind and get 9 more books out, I have ISBNs to distribute. And, you know, I can tell people how to do print-on-demand, hardcover, softcover, how to, you know, I'm a resource. So, again, that's and my publishing imprint is called Coriolis Press.
And I have that in my resource guide for my students. What was the scariest or the most exciting part of this whole process for you?
Oh, my goodness. You know, for me, the scariest part was getting, because I was doing hardcover, so I had a book jacket, was getting the jacket photo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suppose if you're doing softcover, you'd have a photo on the back. Anyway, that was when I really came to, had to really come to terms with the fact that I was going to put this out there.
Mm.
And people might be critical. There might be differences of opinion. I'm a parent. My own kids might say, hey, you know, who are you to tell other people how to parent? So, you know, who knows? That was the hardest part was actually saying, I am going to stick my neck out and publish this, I'm going to go public with this, I am going to stand behind my own self. I think a lot of times we don't do that.
Yeah, that is scary. But
yeah.
I think Mark Twain said something to the effect that if you're doing things that everybody agrees with, you're doing something wrong.
Well, there you are. Yeah, you gotta stick your neck out a little bit and say, yes, this is what I'm doing, this is what I stand for, and let your picture be on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
So what sort of things have you done to market your book?
Oh, not nearly so much as I should. You know, I think marketing is the most important thing we do, because it is the only way that our readers will ever find us. And if we have something that we think is worthy to at least part of the population, and I think that's always true, we almost owe it to our readers to make it easy for them to know that we exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think of it not as shameless self-promotion, or shameful self-promotion, but as a service to people who might need to read your book, who might be looking just for your book, and, you know, you can't hide your light under a bushel. You've got to get it out and let people see it.
That's right.
But marketing,
it's a big thing.
Marketing takes, you know, you should be doing that 80% of the time, and I certainly don't do that. So, you know, everything that you can think of. I started with a book launch. I really think a book launch is a great thing to do. Have a party. Have a party for your friends.
Right.
Have a party for everybody on your mailing list, starting mailing list today. And because the book launch, it's nice for the book to be out there, and you might sell some at your book launch, but it's more for you as the writer.
Mm-hmm.
It sends a signal to you that this is real. You are now selling this stuff.
Right.
And marketing is the name of the game. And the book launch really launches the marketing effort, and it, I think it's an important kind of rite of passage for an author.
Right. Okay.
And then, you know, everything you can do, developing a database, developing a mailing list, whether that's through a newsletter or free speaking that you're doing for community groups and you're passing around, you know, a email sign-up sheet or something. Start working. The minute you start working on your book, you should start working on your database.
Yes.
So that you've got people you can tell and people who will tell their friends. My writing endeavors, my book would fall under the third category. I envisioned this as the center.
You've been listening to a pre-recorded interview with Patricia Nan Anderson, who is the author of Parenting, a Field Guide, and she also is the owner of a website, I Need a Nudge. And if you need a nudge, you are an aspiring author, I encourage you to go over there and take advantage of her services. It has been great to have you join me today. I urge you to share with your friends, family, colleagues about this show. Remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my website at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return at any time 24/7 to hear it. Thank you for tuning in. If you're ready to write your book, don't delay any longer, because the world is waiting for what it is you have to say, no matter what the topic of your book. Join me in How to Write a Book in 90 Days, the workshop. You can get the details over on my website at coloryourlifehappy.com. And tune in next week, Monday, June 27th, 2011, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will have another exciting show and share another topic with you that will be of interest. I am coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to have a blessed week and to color your life happy.